biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Matt with Shay.
Zachary, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Good to see you the last two weekends in Philadelphia, covering the Eagles in the divisional round and the NFC title game. So you're at the Senior Bowl. What was kind of the big topic of conversation there? Just wondering, as usually you get some good rumors and insight from people around the league.
Yeah, Zach, I think what was really fascinating was getting everyone's perspective inside the league on what exactly the Chicago Bears going to do with the number one overall pick. Because, of course, you had Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator there, coaching the American team in the Senior Bowl. And he said all the right things about Justin Fields and how they built their offense around all 11 players, not just Fields, and that he's really confident in Justin. But I don't know for sure that the Bears organization is all in on Fields. He certainly showed enough down the stretch, especially in November and December, where to show that he won the starting job for the future. But the Bears have the opportunity here, and Ryan Poles, the GM, does, Zach, to really jumpstart that rebuild, because I talked to a couple sources who insist that it's plausible that they could trade back not once but twice and still come away with a player at number three or number four, who they would have loved to pick at number one if they traded back with the Houston Texans to number two and moved back again to the number four spot with the Colts. They still might be able to get a Will Anderson or a Jalen Carter at four and come away with multiple first-round picks next year, multiple second-round picks this year to build around. So what the Bears do at the top of the board, I thought that those conversations were really fascinating down in Mobile.
Well, the way I look at it, I would keep Fields. I liked what he showed me this year, and even though I'm a big fan of Bryce Young and I like C.J. Stroud, I would prefer to move down if I was a Bears fan, because you just talked about it. Teams like Houston, the Colts, I don't know, maybe Seattle or the Lions. I think they're going to be okay for this year with the quarterback, but maybe they want to pounce and move up. Could it be the Raiders now with Brady retiring? I think the Bears could get a king's ransom for that number one overall pick.
For sure. And the source that I spoke to, Zach, said it all comes down to how far are you willing to move down? And this is a really unique opportunity for the Bears. I don't know that I would want to move much lower than five or six, depending on how the board is shaking out, because I think they really need some help on that defensive front seven. But if you can move into the number five spot, the number four spot after moving back with Houston, and you execute two trade backs, Zach, that's how you jumpstart rebuilds. That's how you put yourself in a position to contend with a young quarterback still on a rookie deal, a blue-chip defender, and then multiple first-round picks the following year. Things can get really, really interesting in the Windy City.
Matt Lombardo here with us. Is it safe to say, and I don't know what the order is going to be, but the first two quarterbacks off the board this year are going to be Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, or is there still a lot of momentum from Will Levis?
Yeah, I think it is pretty safe to say that you flip a coin and it's either going to be C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, one and two. There's always that quarterback who comes out of nowhere after the combine, after Indianapolis. I think Will Levis could fit into that role in this year's class. But I think it would be tough to watch what C.J. Stroud did and what Bryce Young did, especially in the bowl game in Atlanta, and not come away thinking that in big-time moments that those are the kind of players that you want to build around. So I don't think anybody's jumping either Young or Stroud as the top two quarterbacks selected, at least not here as of February 3rd.
So just to recap this, Matt Lombardo, what do you think the likeliest thing is that will happen with the Bears in the draft? You expect them to stay put, take a quarterback, or move back?
Most likely, I think they'd move back at least once. I think that it would be, I don't want to call it a pipe dream for Bears fans to execute two trade backs, but I think it's most likely that they will move ahead with Justin Fields, spend some of that cap space this offseason on revamping that offensive line similarly to what Cincinnati did over this offseason, and then trade back and take the best defensive player available and probably wind up with at least one additional first-round pick in 2024. And if that's the outcome in a division where who knows what's happening with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, it seems like the Vikings are telegraphing that they're going to try and tear it down at least somewhat this offseason, or might have to because of the cap situation. And it might just come down to the Bears leaping into the conversation along with the Detroit Lions as two of the best teams in that division if they're able to pull that off and execute this offseason the right way.
Matt Lombardo here with us. The last 2 years, I didn't take the bait on Rodgers getting traded. This year, I'm definitely taking the bait. I think he's going to get dealt. Where are you on that front?
Yeah, I'm starting to come around to that idea too, Zach. I think that if you're the Packers, you're now moving into the territory of trying to figure out what to do with Jordan Love and risk not getting anything in return for him while being kind of handcuffed to Aaron Rodgers at the back end of his career. I think that, and people that I talk to inside the league believe that the noise about Aaron Rodgers following Nathaniel Hackett to New York is very real, and that the Jets hired Hackett because they are all in on going after Aaron Rodgers. So I think that that's a very likely destination for Rodgers. And I wouldn't rule out a team like the San Francisco 49ers if they believe that their window is really only 1 or 2 years. If they don't believe that they're all in on Trey Lance, I think that there's a real chance that you could see them make a play for Aaron Rodgers to try to put them over the top in 2023 to make a legitimate Super Bowl run in the NFC.
Now, the two things off the 49ers, I don't know if the Packers, and right, we've heard that right now they're not willing to trade Rodgers inside the NFC. But what was that the other day? Rodgers at the golf tournament. I know he does a lot of things that are questionable, saying, I'll tell you where I'm not playing, at San Francisco. I didn't get why he did that.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. It might have just been Aaron Rodgers saying something. We've all seen him go on certain podcasts and make some off-the-wall comments. It could be something in that mold, or it could have been a veiled shot at Brian Gutekunst because of the Packers' stance of not wanting to trade him within the NFC. But if you're San Francisco and you offer, throwing a name out here, 3 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks, if you're the Packers, are you really turning that down? Are you really turning down the chance to build your franchise back up from the ground up with that kind of arsenal just because you're worried about what Rodgers might do for 2 years in San Fran? I'm not sure I'd pass up that kind of war chest.
Well, how lucrative of a return do you think the Packers are going to get back for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, Zach, the term that I've heard a couple places is a king's ransom. So
really?
It could be significant, yeah.
Okay, because I remember like a few weeks ago they said, oh, it's not going to actually be as much as what people would think. I've always thought that it's going to be at least one first-round pick, but you think it could be like multiple first-round picks is what you're saying?
I think that's in play, especially when you look at what's happening with Tom Brady now retiring. That's one fewer veteran quarterback on the board. There seems to be all kinds of uncertainty over where exactly the Raiders are going to allow Derek Carr to explore his options and if and when they're going to give him the chance to explore a trade on his own. All of a sudden, you start limiting the options, you start limiting the quarterbacks who are available, and the needs from some of these teams aren't getting any less. And if Rodgers is truly available, then I could see some team wanting to jump to the top of the line, the front of the line, to pry him away from Green Bay, especially a team like the 49ers or conceivably like the Raiders, who believe that they're a veteran quarterback away from winning it all.
Is there anyone else in the AFC, you know, just the AFC, that stands out to you? Because it feels like the two teams that have the most interest in Rodgers right now in the AFC are the teams we've been talking about, the Jets and the Raiders.
Yeah, I think those are the two. I think those would be the two most quarterback-needy teams. They're the teams with the most young talent, especially on offense. And I think that, you know, you look at, for the Raiders, they need to do something splashy, right? They need to make sure that they continue selling tickets in that stadium. They need to make sure that they keep pace with teams like the Kansas City Chiefs in their division. And now you have Kellen Moore going to Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. They need to keep pace in that race in the West. So I think the Jets and the Raiders would make the most sense on that side of the bracket.
What about Miami? I know that they say that Tua is their guy, but the concussion conversation is so tough to avoid because he could be one more hit away from never playing football again, Matt.
For sure, but I don't know that they would give up the draft capital because I think there's still some needs on that roster. I could certainly see them being in the mix for a Derek Carr. I think that he'd be a pretty ideal scheme fit, especially for what Mike McDaniel likes to do on offense. So I think that if the Dolphins are moving off of Tua or looking for Tua Tagovailoa insurance, I think that Derek Carr might be a name to watch there.
Talking to Matt Lombardo, for the Derek Carr market, who are some of the teams that you're hearing on the Derek Carr front?
Yeah, I think it's the same names that we've heard all along. I think that the Jets would be in the mix there. I think that the 49ers will be in the mix. And honestly, I'm not sure that there's a better fit than Tampa Bay if they believe that that division is as wide open as it seems to be on paper. They just lost Tom Brady. They need a veteran quarterback. Their offense still has a lot of weapons with Chris Godwin potentially coming back and with Mike Evans. I think that they could be a team to be involved both in the Derek Carr sweepstakes and for Jimmy Garoppolo if he shakes loose as well.
If you had to make a prediction now, Matt, who's starting for the Niners week one? Because you've thrown out a few of these guys that are available. Now Brock Purdy is going to be out, it looks like, for 6 months maybe. Trey Lance is still on the roster. Week one, who do you think is starting for the Niners?
Boy, that's a tough one. You know, I think that most likely
Lance?
I think most likely might be Brock Purdy because he's cheap. But if they go outside the organization, I still think they're going to be big players in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes.
Interesting. And really, for the most part, it seems like there's not been a lot of conversation about Rodgers ending up with the 49ers just because, from what we've been told, right, from some of the reporters, and obviously you're one of them, so this is why it's compelling to me because it's different, is that the Packers really aren't considering the NFC.
They might wind up having to, right, depending on what the offers come in. If the Jets don't blow them away and if they truly want to move off of Rodgers and they think that, and if the 49ers can offer them the kind of package that they're looking for, I just don't know why they would limit the market. Look, we've seen it happen before. Donovan McNabb gets traded within the same division. We've seen quarterbacks go within conferences, changing uniforms time and time again. I just have this sense that that might be posturing to try to get San Francisco to up their offer. Because, listen, Aaron Rodgers was very nearly a San Francisco 49er leading up to the NFL draft in 2020. So it's not as if this will be an unheard of scenario and a situation that probably, at the bare minimum, was explored between these two franchises just 2 years ago.
Talking to Matt Lombardo, what are you hearing about the Commanders? Because, you know, are they really going to go into this year starting Sam Howell at quarterback, or are they going to be in play for one of these QBs?
It sure sounds like it, Zach, that they're going to stick with Sam Howell. But, you know, you look at some of these other teams on the tertiary of the fringes of these veteran quarterback conversations, teams like the Commanders, teams like the Colts, teams like the Panthers. That's what's going to make this offseason so wild. And I do think that it might lead to a situation where, whether it's Washington or Carolina or somebody else, you might see a quarterback get traded that you had no idea was even on the market because teams are just going to be pretty desperate to get their guy, especially in a year where there might only be three or four legitimate top-tier quarterbacks in this draft.
Could you speculate on who that quarterback that it wouldn't maybe – it would shock us, but maybe not surprise you if he gets dealt this offseason?
I'd have to sit and think on that one, Zach. But I think that, you know, most likely I think the Commanders stay in-house. But I just think that, you know, when you look at the outlook of the entire offseason, I really think that the quarterback movement is going to be more fascinating than the coaching carousel has been, just because there are so many teams with a need at that position.
Wrapping up with Matt Lombardo, man, if the Commanders really stick with Sam Howell, they just confuse me. Because they have I think they have a good team. When you look at some of the weapons with Jahan Dotson, obviously Terry McLaurin, their front seven. I like what I saw out of Brian Robinson Jr. this year. Last year they go with Wentz. It made no sense why they gave up that much. And I know Howell played well the final week of the season.
But I would not get what they're doing if they're starting Sam Howell week one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the other option here is that if the Packers decide that they're all in on Aaron Rodgers, maybe they make a play for Julian Love. I don't think that they're in a position, they might trade up to get a quarterback, but I don't know what sense that makes to give up even more draft capital. They just seem like they're a team that, kind of like the Indianapolis Colts, can't figure out that position with so much talent around them. And maybe they look at Howell as this is the shot to see if they can get their quarterback situation under control with a young guy on a rookie contract while adding some other pieces around in this offseason. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure, in a division where I think that they're a very clear-cut fourth-best team.
How much of a chance do you give it that Lamar Jackson gets dealt this offseason?
20%. Only because I know and I've heard multiple places that there's very real frustration over how he handled the second half of this season when it comes to not showing up, traveling with the team for the playoff game. There are some real hurt feelings on both sides in terms of how these negotiations have played out. But at the end of the day, Zach, the Ravens really have no impetus to trade him. They can franchise tag him twice. And I don't know that they're going to want to turn the reins over to Huntley or anyone else on that roster, or they would be able to go out and get another quarterback that could put them in a position that Lamar Jackson does. This just feels like it's barreling down the tracks towards two franchise tags, and you figure it out from there. But again, I don't think it's a 0% chance. I put it somewhere between 20 and 25% that he gets dealt.
Last thing I'll ask you, Matt Lombardo, if it goes the way that I read it, do you think it was the right call by D'Amico Ryans to pick the Texans over the Broncos?
I do, only because I think that coming home meant a lot to D'Amico Ryans, and I think that there is some really good young talent on that roster on the defensive side of the football in Houston. And depending on what happens on draft night, he's going to get a chance to coach or have the number one quarterback, or worst case, the number two quarterback in this class as the face of his franchise moving forward. I think there's a lot to like about the Denver job, obviously one of the wealthiest ownership groups in the sport, an ownership group that seems committed to righting the ship there, with great talent on both sides of the ball too. But I don't know that if I'm D'Amico Ryans, if I look and see what happened, and I'm a defensive-minded head coach, and I watch what happened with Russell Wilson last year, I don't know that I, stamp my ticket, stake my reputation, stake potentially my head coaching career on Russell Wilson when I can go and get a rookie quarterback, I can hire an all-star offensive coordinator, and I can try to do it at home in my hometown in a town that values me. I think it's a great long-term play and a great long-term fit for D'Amico.
Matt Lombardo, appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
You got it, Zach. See you in Phoenix.
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.